The passage that we have to read today is found in your bulletin insert, Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciple. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything.
Thank you very much, and please do keep your notice sheets open, and you can see an outline there of the talk this morning. So this morning we're beginning a new series which we've called Practical Questions on Church Membership. Those of you that come here regularly will know that we normally work our way through passages of scripture in books of the Bible in a consecutive way. We're taking a few weeks out to look at this whole subject of church membership, and then after that we'll be obviously into our Christmas theme for the year. So why don't I begin with a prayer? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do want to give thanks for the opportunity that we have over these next few weeks to look at this whole subject of church membership. Father, wherever we stand on this issue and whatever experiences of your church we have had, we pray that we might find this helpful, and that you would be at work in us both individually and corporately through your Spirit. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So then, let me begin this morning with a question, which is, what comes to mind when you hear the word membership? I wonder what that is. I think for many of us here in Hong Kong, we probably immediately think of club membership. So we think about maybe being a member of the Hong Kong Cricket Club or the Hong Kong Rugby Club or those kinds of things. And there, the idea of membership is basically that we sort of pay our money every year, and then we sort of receive or enjoy certain benefits and privileges and maybe responsibilities as a result. Some of you, as soon as you heard of membership, you maybe instantly thought of gym membership. And again, the idea is you sort of pay your monthly subscription and you get opportunity to use all the various different machines or the pool and those kinds of things. Some of you, particularly if you're from the UK, you may have immediately have thought of EU membership. And you'll be relieved to know that we are not going there this morning. So we're going to leave that well and truly alone. And instead, what we're thinking about this morning, of course, is church membership. So church membership is something that we're very keen to introduce here at Ambassador. And really the whole purpose of this short series of sermons is to introduce the idea to you all. Up until now, Ambassador has had what we might call informal membership, where people are very welcome to come along, but we don't really ask you to believe anything, and we don't really ask you to commit to anything in a more formal way. But we now think there are certain advantages to introducing a more formal membership. And so the aim of this sermon series really is to give some basic teaching about church membership and what that might look like for us and what that might mean for us both individually and as a local church. We've written this little booklet here called Church Membership, Frequently Asked Questions, that you ought to have been handed on the way in. The aim of this is really to help you be able to answer some of the many practical questions that you may have about what this means for you. Certainly if you're somebody that's a regular attender here, you need to take this away and read it, because there are some important implications in here for you that you need to be aware of. We've been discussing church membership at our prayer meetings for the last 6 to 8 months. Many of the questions and discussions which have come out of that, the results can really be found in this booklet, and we do hope that you'll find that helpful. Really, the purpose of the sermons, therefore, is to really give you the big picture and some of the rationale that lies behind some of these changes that we are proposing. If you're visiting with us this morning, then I'm very aware that this is a bit in-house, And please do bear with us, and I do hope that you find it interesting nonetheless. So then, when it comes to church membership, I'm sure that we have a number of different responses to that. For some of us, we are maybe those that have had very positive experiences of church membership elsewhere, and so we're really already on board with the whole idea. In fact, when we came to Ambassador, it was a surprise for us that Ambassador didn't already have some kind of church membership. However, there may be others of us who, and we have not really thought about church membership very much at all. Or perhaps we have thought about it, but yet it's really just one of those things that life is very hectic, it's very busy, it's just not really a priority for us, and we don't really see why it is a priority for Ambassador either. Or maybe we have thought about it, but we're not even sure we would want to be part of a local church. We might feel unworthy, maybe because of things which have happened in our past. Or maybe we're not sure that we really want to be accountable to other Christians in a meaningful way. We quite like the freedom just to be anonymous and just to do our own thing. Church membership, well, that all sounds a bit staid, a bit rigid, a bit institutionalised. And then, unfortunately, there will be others of us who have actually had bad or even hurtful experiences of church membership elsewhere. We've been badly hurt by the church, and so we don't want to ever open ourselves up to that again. There will also be some of you here this morning who aren't Christians yet. And if that's you, then we're really delighted and glad that you are here. One thing that's vitally important for you to understand is that becoming a church member does not make you a Christian. Becoming a church member does not make you a Christian. And for you, actually, the priority is really not to think about church membership at the moment, but rather to investigate Christ and the gospel for yourself and to come to know him in a real way. And only after that would something like church membership become really relevant for you. And so wherever we're coming from this morning, I do hope that we find this helpful. I really just want to focus our thoughts really on one question as the main line through, which is kind of, why is this important for us? Why is church membership important for us as a church? Why as a pastor and elders do we believe that? And also, why is it important for me and you as individuals? So then there's a couple of headings there on your sheets that I think will help us think through this. And the first of them is that church membership is biblical. So very often one thing you'll hear people say is, well, there's no verse in the Bible that says that I need to become a church member. And of course, that's true. Just like there's no verse in the Bible that mentions the Trinity or lots of other things as well. But we need to say that, like the Trinity, the concept and the idea of church membership is very much in the Bible. And I think once you start looking for it, then you can see evidence for it in lots and lots of different places. So then let's begin by looking at some of the more explicit New Testament evidence. So in the book of Acts, for instance, even just on a casual reading of the book of Acts, one thing that immediately strikes us is that there's an awareness of the numbers of people who are joining the church. You very often have specific numbers mentioned, and also that this was an intentional act. The people actually chose to associate themselves with the early Christians in groups. And so the verse there, the key verse on your sheets, Acts chapter 2, verse 47 is a really good example. We see that the Lord added daily to the number of those who were being saved. There was an awareness of numbers, how many the Lord was adding to those who were being saved. In Acts 5, verse 12 and 13, we see that the believers used to meet together at a certain time in a certain place, and the people had to decide whether they would join with them or not. Again, it's not exactly church membership as we maybe think of it these days, but it's clear that from the book of Acts and right from the earliest days of Christianity, that the early Christians knew who was part of the church, they knew when somebody was becoming part of it, and they knew who was not. Now, we also know that they kept lists. So in 1 Timothy 5, verse 9 and 10, Paul talks about the lists of widows in the church who needed specific help and care. It's virtually impossible to imagine that they would have had lists of people like widows, but they wouldn't have had a list of those that were in the church as a whole from whom a list of widows would have been derived. There's also further evidence of membership in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6, where Paul refers to a particular case of church discipline, and he refers to the punishment inflicted on him by the majority. Leads to the obvious question, a majority of what? A majority of all the Christians in the whole world? Of course not. This only makes sense if it is a majority of those in the local church. And it's very hard, of course, to have a majority without having some kind of awareness as to how many people there are and who's in and who's out. And so as far as we can tell, we can see that the early church had some sort of a concept of a church membership, or these kind of verses just wouldn't really make sense. We can also see this more explicitly when we come to some of the texts in the New Testament that deal with the subjects of church discipline and church leadership. And a good example of a church discipline text would be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So the context in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is a man who was sleeping with his father's wife. It was a highly scandalous sin in that culture. And Paul urges the church to take action against him, both for his own good and also for the good of the gospel and its reputation in that community. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 to 11, Paul writes this: "I have written to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, or a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat." And then he adds these words in verse 12 and 13. "What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you." Now, there's lots we could obviously say about these verses, and the subject of church discipline is one that we've preached on here previously. But one thing I'd like us to note from these passages is that they just don't make sense without some idea of church membership, for the simple reason that you can't put somebody out if they were never in. You can't exclude somebody from a church in a way that you can say expel the wicked man from among you if they were never ever included in the first place. And this passage makes clear that there is a dividing line between the church and the world. There's a clear dividing line here, and the people were aware of who was in and who was part of the church and who was not. So, for instance, I can never be kicked out of the Hong Kong Rugby Club, which is great. And the reason I can't be kicked out of the Hong Kong Rugby Club is because I'm not a member of the Hong Kong Rugby Club, and therefore there's no way that they can kick me out. Exactly the same here. It's impossible to make sense of these New Testament passages on church membership, unless on church discipline, unless you actually have some concept of church membership and being included in the first place. Another example would be what the New Testament has to say about church leaders. So wherever you go throughout the New Testament, it seems clear that Christians know who their leaders are, and the church leaders know which particular group of Christians they are responsible for. So let's look at a couple of examples. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul, addressing the Ephesian elders, says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Again, it seems that they were responsible for a particular flock of God's people. And then in Hebrews 13 verse 17, we read these words: "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." And so the obvious question is, well, who are the Christians who church leaders are to watch over and to give an account for? Am I asked to give an account to Christ for every single Christian here in Hong Kong? Am I to keep watch over every single Christian that happens to wander through the door of Ambassador? Of course not. Again, this kind of verse only makes sense if leaders are able to give an account for a defined group of people, those who are members of a particular local church who are cared for by a particular group of elders who care for them and watch over them. And of course, this works the other way round as well. Which Christian leaders are you to submit to? Are you to submit to every single Christian leader in Hong Kong, no matter what they believe or what they teach? Of course not. Again, this passage doesn't make any sense without some sort of meaningful church commitment and membership. And so I hope you can begin to see that the idea and concept of church membership is very evident in the Bible. And it's arguments like these that have increasingly convinced me and others elders that we would be greatly strengthened if we began to move more in this direction as well. At the moment, it's virtually impossible for the Ambassador elders to know who they are responsible for caring for and who they aren't. Now, one question that's often asked is, well, isn't the idea of membership kind of elitist and unloving and a little bit weird? Isn't the idea of saying that some people are in and others are out a bit harsh and legalistic? Well, the first thing I would say is it doesn't have to be, and it definitely ought not to be. I think we'll see later on that when we're talking about church membership, what we're really talking about is the normal Christian life, where a normal Christian is plugged into a local church in a normal way. We're not talking about some sort of special elite class of Christians. We're saying that the normal thing for any Christian is to have made a commitment to a church in a meaningful way. And if we really struggle with it in and out bit, I actually think we have bigger issues going on with God's word. Because we need to remember that right from the Garden of Eden until the new creation, the Bible is really clear that God's people are to be marked out and defined from the world around them. And so the people of Israel in the Old Testament, they were to be marked out by God's covenant and his law. When we come to the New Testament, we see that the church is to be defined by faith in Christ and a new lifestyle of obedience to him in the power of the Spirit. And so I really don't think this is elitist. What we're talking about here is the normal Christian life. Normal Christians being plugged into church in a normal way and having covenanted together with other believers in their following of Christ. Well, God's will for every Christian is that they would be a member of a local church. However, we need to move on, because even if we grant that church membership is in the Bible, or even if we at least grant that it's not against what the Bible teaches, we may not be convinced about its importance. We may think that this is just not a priority, and I'd like us to look at this for the rest of the time under the heading, Church Membership is Important. So why is church membership so important then? Well, I'd like to run through five reasons that I think summarise why this is important. Number one then, church membership is important for the sake of those who aren't Christians. So we can see Jesus' evangelistic strategy, that means his strategy for reaching those who aren't Christians, in John 13 and verse 35. Jesus says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And so I wonder, did you catch that? Jesus says that the way that the world around us will know that we are Jesus' disciples and that we'll be a good witness is because of our love for one and another as the people of God. And so one reason why we should join a church is so that the world can see our practical love for one another lived out and in action. And the reason that this is especially powerful is because in the church we are often called to love people who are not like us. Anybody in the world can love people who are exactly the same as they are. But yet in the church, we're often thrown together with a relatively random group of people from different backgrounds and different ages and different cultures and different educational levels, a group of people who are very different from us. All we have in common is Christ, yet there's to be love between us. And that is a great witness to the watching world. As a quick aside, I think this is especially relevant in Hong Kong at the moment. In many ways, I think we can see the current crisis as a stress test, a bit of a stress test for us as a church here at Ambassador. A year ago, we would have probably all said that we were a loving church. But now I think it's almost as if God is saying to us, well, okay, let's see how you guys get on loving one another when a crisis really hits. Let's see if you can keep on loving one another when your differences are really exposed and you begin to not agree with one another. Will you still love one another then? Or not? And so right now is a great time to be living out this in Hong Kong, showing that Christ really does make a difference, that our identity really is in him. Will we continue to love one another when the community around us is giving in to hate and becoming more and more polarized with all sorts of different views? Now, of course, we won't do this perfectly, but we can do it well. And one reason to join a local church is so that we can love one another and be just a much clearer witness to the watching world. See, church membership gives us a defined group of people who we know that we are to love with the love of Christ. And it's also an extra thing that can keep on helping us to be committed to keep on loving one another when times are hard. And we'll return to this later on. So anyway, my point now is that church membership is important for those who aren't Christians. Then a church membership is also important for other Christians. And this brings us to the many one another commands in the Bible. So there's many commands like this in the New Testament. Let's have a quick run through. Romans 12 verse 10, be devoted to one another. Romans 15 verse 7, accept one another. Ephesians 4 verse 32, be kind to one another. Colossians 3 verse 13, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. 1 Peter 3 verse 8, live in harmony with one another. 1 Peter 4 verse 9, offer hospitality to one another. Hebrews 10 verse 25, encourage one another. And this is just a small fraction of the one another verses that there are in the New Testament. And note that all of these commands are given within the context of the local church. Very hard to consistently obey these commands unless you're a part of a local church. Now, of course, we can do all of these things to some extent without being a church member, but they are all given much more definition by church membership. So, for instance, the danger is that if we just aim at being an encouraging person in general, then actually we end up not really encouraging anyone specifically. Whereas if we're a member of a church, we know that God has given us a group of very specific people who we have promised to encourage in the faith. Or what about when we hear the words, offer hospitality to one another? If we just think, well, I ought to be offering hospitality to other people in a very vague sense, then the chances are that we probably won't end up being very hospitable at all. But yet when we hear the command, offer hospitality to one another, there all ought to be faces and names from our church family that are actually coming into our minds who we have a responsibility to offer hospitality to. Or what about if we've not seen anyone for a while and we know that they need the encouragement of meeting together with other Christians? You see, church membership actually helps us obey these kinds of commands in real ways. It helps us to reach out beyond our own immediate group of friends, those people who we like, and actually make a meaningful commitment to the church family as a whole, rather than only our home group or only those people that we get on with. I like the story of the pastor who once asked someone in his church, have you ever thought of becoming a church member? And they said, no, I feel that everyone else would just slow down my spiritual growth. To which the pastor very wisely replied, well, maybe, but have you ever thought that by linking arms with the others that you could help them speed up? I think that's absolutely right. See, one reason that church membership is so important is not just for our own sake, it's actually for the sake of other Christians, both weaker and stronger Christians around us, that we might link arms with them and that we might all encourage one another and spur each other on. Now, I want to say I think ambassadors are really great at many of the one another's that we have looked at, and I think formal membership would just give a bit more of meaning and a little bit more of a formal structure that would help us to do this as a church even better. Number three, membership's also important for your leaders. So we already touched on this earlier from Hebrews 13 verse 17. It's just to make the point again that the job of a Christian leader is made much easier when we've got a list of people to care for. Maybe especially the case here in Hong Kong, which tends to be quite transient. It's especially helpful to have a group of people who said, this is our church. We are committed to Ambassador as the place where we belong. We want to place ourselves under its leadership and be committed to what God is doing here. Now, in a small church, this is less important. It's really obvious who is part of the church and who is not. But as a church gets larger, I believe this becomes even more important. Who are we to care for? Who is that group of believers who will stand with us and who can be counted on, who can really be relied on to pray and give and labour with us as partners for the cause of the gospel? As I've said previously from this pulpit, if you're at Island ECC 1 week and you're at St Andrews the next week and then you're at Ambassador the week after that and you kind of church hop round, which pastor is responsible for you? Is it Brett Hilliard over at Island ECC? Is it Alex McCoy over at St Andrews? Or is it me here? Who is? And that's not just because we want things all nice and neat and kind of organized and tied up, although that would very much appeal to my personality. It's because as a pastor and elders, we want to care for you well, and we are concerned and care for your spiritual growth and discipleship of Christ. It helps us to know which flock you are part of. It helps you to know which flock you're actually a part of, because we believe that one day as leaders, we will need to give an account to you, an account to Christ for you. Church membership, you see, is important for your leaders. Number four, church membership is important for yourself. I'm very aware of this in my own life. You know, I need people to hold me accountable for my Christian walk. I need people who can speak into my life, maybe a word of encouragement or even a word of rebuke about the things that they observe in me. I need encouragement from other Christians, but I also need meaningful accountability as well. I'm suspicious of myself and my own heart. I know that I'm prone to going astray in all sorts of ways. I know that sin will appear in my life in all sorts of ways that I may be even blind to. And so I know that I need others to walk with me. I need to be accountable. I need others to keep me on the road and even correct me and let me know when I'm going wrong. Again, it's clearly something we see in God's word. So I was reading these verses in my devotions this last week. Hebrews 3, verse 13, the writer says, encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. Why? So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need the accountability of other Christians. Why? So that none of us will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And the problem with sin's deceitfulness is that we're often blind to it, but other people may see that. And therefore, we need them to speak into our lives in safe and meaningful ways. There was a period in my own life when I really didn't see the need for any kind of formal church membership. And when I look back on that time in my life now, I think I was largely driven by pride. I think I thought that I was superior to most of the other people I thought were church members. I think I thought that I was more committed than most other people who were church members, and so I thought that I don't need to formally commit to them in any meaningful way. But I really hope that now, by God's grace, I'm a little bit wiser, and I've come to realize that I need to be a church member for myself. I need the accountability of other brothers and sisters to walk with me. I need to be accountable to others for my spiritual walk. Unfortunately, it took me a long while, but I've now realized that sheep need to be in a flock, bricks need to be in a building, members need to be connected to the rest of the body, branches need to be in the vine, and the best way to live out all of these metaphors for the church in the Bible is some kind of church membership. See, formal church membership is a way of committing to one another and inviting others to speak into our lives for our discipleship and actually our own spiritual good. That may be a little bit scary for some of you, but it's really important for our spiritual growth and our discipleship that we're covenanted together as God's people who are committed to one another's growth and one another's spiritual good. Finally, church membership's also for God. Ultimately, God loves the church, and so when we identify with the church, that is something that pleases him and brings him glory. This brings us to the story of Saul on the Damascus Road in Acts 9, which was read together for us. If you look at Acts 9, verse 4, Jesus appears to Saul and he says, "Why do you persecute me?" And of course, in one sense, we might think that's weird, because Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus, he was persecuting the church. But yet this story surely reveals that Jesus so closely identifies with the church that to persecute the church really is to persecute him. After all, the church is his body. And so for us, if Jesus identifies this closely with the church, then surely we also ought to be willing to identify with it. The church matters to God. Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. And so when we identify with the church, we please God and glorify him. And so really, five reasons that I would put to you why church membership is important. It's important for the sake of those who aren't Christians, it's important for other Christians, it's important for your leaders, it's important for yourself, and it's important for God. Now, you may want to ask, well, why can't we just do all of these things informally? And of course, you can, but I think that formal church membership helps us do them all much better and in a much clearer and more defined way. Those of us who are married will surely know how helpful it is to have made a formal promise in marriage to be committed to our spouse, the richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. A lot of us who are married surely know that our relationships would be much poorer without the formality of those marriage vows. How much that adds stability and security and something that really holds you there during the difficult times in a way that just living together never could. It's exactly the same with church membership. Some of us need to get married. There's something about committing in a formal way that makes our commitment to the church much more deep and much more meaningful. So then let's have some application as we draw things to a close. So if you're someone who's had positive experiences of church membership elsewhere, then I really hope that this morning is an encouragement to you. I hope that you already knew most of it. Please join us in praying that this could be something that greatly strengthens Ambassador. If you're someone who's not really thought about this, or you don't really see it as a priority, then I really hope that this morning sort of planted a few seeds in your mind and maybe has got the ball rolling a little bit for you. The fact is, we live in an incredibly individualized and privatized age where we reject a lot of commitments to other people. It's very easy for us, therefore, just to view church as somewhere where we come along, we have our sort of spiritual fuel tanks refilled, and that really fuels us for our individual walks with God, which is where all the action is. But I really do want to begin to challenge that notion in your life. Coming to think about church membership may actually be the thing that transforms the way that you think about your whole Christian life. Then there may be others of us who've been hurt by a church in the past. And if that's you, then I do want to say that I'm genuinely sorry about that. And you may well need some time to heal and regain confidence. And we've had a number of people who have been like this at Ambassador over the years. But I would also want to remind you that not all churches are the same. And just because you experience something somewhere else does not mean that you would experience the same thing here. Although, of course, we're far from perfect. And God's ideal for you remains for you to be a member of a church. And so maybe you need to start thinking now, well, what would a realistic timeline look like for me to become a member of a new church? And then what about if we feel unworthy to join a church because of things in our past? Well, here we surely need to grasp the gospel. We need to grasp the fact that when Jesus went to the gospel for us, on him was laid all of our sin and all of our brokenness and all of our rebellion against God and everything that we've ever done wrong and ever will do wrong. And when we repent and trust in him, we know that he accepts us and that there's now no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ. We need to remember that church membership is not a club for the already holy who have somehow miraculously got their lives together. No, church membership is for those who recognize that they are flawed and broken, but yet they've trusted in Christ, they are repenting of their sins, and now God is making them new through the ministry of his Spirit. As the well-known Christian poem says, "When I say I am a Christian, I don't speak of this with pride. I'm confessing that I stumble and need Christ to be my guide. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and need his strength to carry on. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting I have failed and need God to clean my mess." I think we could say all of those things about church membership as well. So it's not just a name on a list or a club for the already holy who have somehow cleaned up their lives first. It is for all of us who know that we've been forgiven by Christ and we need his help, and we need the help of other Christians to really walk in his ways. And I think that church membership is a really exciting way for us to do that. And so we can link arms together for God's glory. So I warmly commend this to you. Please do continue to think and pray. Please email me or ask me any questions that you may have, and let me know, lead us in a prayer. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we give thanks. You never intended that we should live the Christian life alone, but your desire for us is that we link arms with other Christians and that this is something that benefits us and them and the world around and ultimately glorifies you. We pray that you would be with us as we continue to think about these things as a church and that you would guide us as individuals and as a church as we continue to think about our response. And we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.